flying thing. Hi, it's the HBO boys. DCEU had a big hit on its hands with James Gunn's Suicide Squad, and you never let too much of a good thing get away from you. And so we're coming back, we're double dipping with Peacemaker, starring only a few cast members from Suicide Squad. It's Peacemaker and a couple of the guys in the chairs. And I'm James, and with me is Ryan and Adam, and we're talking about episodes 2 through 4, which might seem a strange numbering for a podcast, but that's what's out, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. We're catching up.
The only show that I knew that's dropped 3 episodes at once for opening week. Why?
Why?
It's good.
But
it's
because Raised by Wolves. That's why.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because they looked at their schedule and they were like, okay. I don't know, just cram a shit ton of them into one day. Who gives a shit?
And, you know, they have to get as much viewership as they can, because didn't that show suck?
Yeah, but...
I think it had fans, though.
It had fans. It has Ridley Scott.
Yeah. We got an angry email, because Ryan and I didn't like Raised by Wolves, and somebody was mad about that.
Oh, I liked the first episode. I watched it with you, Ryan. It was very captivating, but then I just heard terrible
pilots
things.
Are allowed to be good, because... They're basically mini-movies, which Ridley Scott did. And then he fucked right off, and the rest of the season is just god-awful. In fact, I look forward to doing that podcast again, not because I am going to be tortured to watch the show, but because doing a podcast about a show you don't like, I would argue, is more interesting than doing one about one you do. Segway.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited
Peacemaker.
For it. Yeah.
So does that mean that you don't like Peacemaker?
Hey, so this should be a movie.
Okay.
This should be a movie, right?
It should have been a movie.
James?
Should it have been a movie?
Yeah.
No, they probably shouldn't have made it.
Oh. Yes, okay. That's where I assumed you were going with that. It should not only not be a movie or TV show, just it should not exist.
So I'm taking it that you don't like it.
Do you truly not like it?
Yeah, that's what you said about every other
this
Marvel
This one's not Marvel,
show.
Baby.
It's fine.
It's DCEU.
I know. I know.
Okay.
I mean, comic book shows.
Yeah, I have a complicated relationship with this show where my eyes are rolling half the time, and the other half of the time I'm...
Yo, yeah.
It's fine. Anyway, let's start with episode 2, Best Friends for Never. Very catchy title. The first 20 minutes of this episode is just him exiting a building.
Yeah.
In his underwear.
It's just a large waste of time. He steals a runed thing that seems important, although I just watched episode 4 and it wasn't in there at all. The cops go to Peacemaker's dad's house because John changed the registration and fingerprints on the car at this scene to his, which, choose any other person, right? So dumb. And although Mern does call this out, I said out loud, like, choose any other person. And then Mern was like, choose any other person.
Right. Literally, you could have just registered them to the murder victim. And then it would have been a closed loop.
Yeah. Just a way to keep T-1000 in on the show.
Well, apparently he's going to be around for a while. Because
he's like a big baddie, apparently. Yeah.
The rest of the team, meaning Harcourt and Leota, show up to the scene. They ask themselves, is this Waller? Is this my mom? Peacemaker has left the dossier on Project Butterfly in the ladies' room. So he probably has to go back up there and get that. And Leota gets sent into the building to bribe the couple that Peacemaker kidnapped / was hitting on the wife of.
I love that. I love that scene.
And then a song starts. I don't remember what song it is. Here's this thing that I never thought I would ever say. I'm getting a little tired of James Gunn shoving his musical taste down my throat as a statement and in everything he ever makes.
Well, I think
it is.
They're kind of doing like a hair metal thing with this show. And I actually kind of appreciate that. That's apparently what the music Peacemaker likes. And so they're playing a lot of it. As a side note, I was talking about this show with my dad, and then after we hung up, I realized that the entire 15-minute conversation, we were both calling him Peacekeeper. Just kidding.
Yeah, a side effect of liking and or not liking a show is not knowing the main character's name.
Yeah.
No, here's what I like hair metal. I like all the music. There hasn't been a song that's been playing that I didn't enjoy. But for some reason, every time a new one comes on, every 2 minutes, it's like James Gunn fatigue. People have Marvel fatigue. People have superhero fatigue. I don't really have any of those. What I do sort of have is James Gunn fatigue. And I'm hoping that that does not cross over to Guardians of the Galaxy, a franchise that I love.
Oh, I hope not either.
Yeah, they're making that Groot standalone show. That's going to be terrible.
Oh, that's going to be
dear
bad.
Lord.
That's what I'm saying. With this show and with that concept, like, obviously, Marvel and DC both know that, like, James Gunn is really good with this kind of shit, but then they overplay their hand. They push it too much.
Mm-hmm.
They have allowed James Gunn, it seems, to do whatever he wants, which gets, up until right now, only positive results in a large amount of cash. And I'll be interested. I haven't really read any reviews about Peacemaker.
Well, it's a little complicated, Ryan, because the DC fanboys, they like the original Suicide Squad. And so they're kind of upset about the James Gunn
the
Suicide
Will Smith
Squad.
One?
Yes.
Who are these people, James? Who are these people? No.
Purists. Mm-mm.
That's not the word that
the
I want.
The Snyder
use.
Cut bros. Like, they... In their mind, the original Suicide Squad, the David Ayer Suicide Squad, was good, and making a new one is like a slap in the face.
Were they on the submarine with them? Is that what's happening right now?
Might have been, yeah.
Speaking of that, I saw an article scrolling through social media, and it was, should we get the Ayer cut? And the first thing I thought of was you, James, just pitching it to
I
us every
week. I
want
the Ayer cut, baby.
Updates on the Ayer cut.
It's absolutely ridiculous. The whole movie's out there. It's finished. Right? It's sitting probably on David Ayer's laptop.
I'd be curious, but...
If you guys don't know in the audience what the submarine reference is or what the last minute was about, I apologize. I'm not going to explain it to you. Anyway, Peacemaker gets home into his motorhome. Vigilante is here all of a sudden. They do spend about 2 minutes here on a Louis C.K. joke about showing dicks to people. One of many quips that goes much too long and makes me want to stop watching the show. Yeah. Leota bribes the people's inside, so that works out. Vigilante and Peacemaker talk about not being... You're not my friend. I'm one of your only friends. My best friend, me, personally, is my eagle who... Hey, James, is that an eagle, a CGI, or a robot? You answer me this question.
I think it's a puppet.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
I think it's both. I think it's a... I mean, there's some where it is so realistic, and then there's other shots where it's clearly CGI.
I like Vigilante, though. I think he's stealing the show this time. Funnier than
Oh, yes.
Peacemaker.
He's the best part of the show.
It's funny Absolutely. That he's like, we're not friends. We're not friends. I don't like you. And then they have like a devil's three-way.
Yeah.
Like, well, he must be a little bit your friend.
I can't believe it's called the devil's three-way, but I have heard that term before. That's just terrible and slightly sexist. They also do like a Vigilante and Peacemaker bow montage, like two little shitty Hawkeyes out in the woods throwing dynamite at kitchen appliances, which I was boring.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying, man. Like...
Here's the thing. There's elements of a good show in here.
Yeah.
Some jokes are funny. Some scenes are good. But the problem is it's 40 to 50 minutes long, which is just too long. And if it were just 22 minutes, I bet it would be a lot better.
Right. Half hour, 22 minutes, cut it.
Which, by the way, again, they're doing whatever James Gunn wants. If he wrote a show that was 22 minutes each, that's what they would have made unless... I don't know, maybe he brought it to them and was like, no, it's going to be on HBO Max, and they only do hour-long. Game of Thrones ruined this.
You know, Netflix and Game of Thrones have fucked us. Everything has to be an hour-long, so that you take this Cowboy Bebop show, which isn't even any good, and you stretch a concept out for an hour, and so you need five scenes with the character just bickering about nothing.
Right.
The couple go to the cops, and they pick Peacemaker's dad out of the lineup because they've been recently bribed. Leota tries and then succeeds at white-fanging her wife, Kia. Peacemaker bangs the wife of the couple, as you said, with Vigilante. Boobs, no dicks. So Dong Watch 2022 still out there, and the nudity inequality lives on.
Right. Well, yeah, the profile of the male lead in this case, John Cena, is too high for him to drop Dong, right?
Yeah.
They can't afford that.
The Rock has a stipulation in his contract that he can never lose a fight. And mm-hmm. also John Cena, I believe, does too. And I think Vin Diesel does too, which makes it very difficult for them all to be in the same movie. But John Cena, I believe, also has another stipulation in his contract where he can't hang Dong even after he talks about it for like 20.
Aww.
Like,
yeah.
Opportunity.
They can do a prosthetic Dong.
They could.
It's not real, though.
Steve Zondong.
Captain America, Chris Evans,
yeah.
At a certain point in the MCU, was like, I'm not taking my shirt off anymore. I'm done with that. I took it off too many times for you guys. I'm not taking it off anymore.
I mean, it's the same thing with Chris Hemsworth, where he's like, I'm really overworking out, and I don't want to do that anymore. So make me fat.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. It's like you have to stay 0% body fat if you're going to do like the no shirt Captain America scenes. He's like, no.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the 6 months that Tom Holland wasn't contracted by Disney, he went snowboarding and smashed his face up because he's not allowed to do that when he's under contract. And he was like, crazy. I'm just so excited to be able to be outside.
Potentially getting hurt.
Post Devil's Three-Way, this ruined thing glows. And then turns into a tiny little ship.
You're getting some ideas of what's going on here.
Yeah. There are tiny ships. So
tiny aliens.
Maybe tiny little aliens. Peacemaker's dad is in the clink. He immediately fucks with the first black guy he sees, which is racist of him, obviously. The guy gets up, and all the people around him gather. Like, they're very angry. And then, oh, nope. They bow. Ha ha ha. He's the white dragon. He is the leader of all white supremacy, perhaps in the world. They bring up, the detectives do, like, why is he here? Shouldn't he be in Arkham or Belrive? And they're like, no, those are overcrowded, but we did bring them up, which is good. And that's the second episode.
I like the name and of the third episode.
The cookie crumbles.
Better Goff dead.
Yeah.
I thought it was referring to the Detroit Lions quarterback, Jared Goff. And I was like, that is an odd reference.
What, they want to kill Jared Goff?
I know.
Better Goff dead?
He is already being tortured enough being on the Detroit Lions.
Oh, that team.
I don't know what kind of Venn diagram this podcast has with people who watch football, but those four or five people are going to be like, Ryan's not wrong.
If they played fantasy at all, they would have...
I forget if it happens, like, it's like the stinger before the intro in episode 3, where, like, they just raise the stakes insanely, where, like, they're just dicking around for the first two episodes. They're like, oh, now we have to assassinate a U.S. senator.
Right. Yes. And perhaps his entire family. We're not sure.
All of his kids and his wife.
They are going to the op. Leota, while on her iPad, accidentally shows her wife's private parts to the entirety of the van. Still no Dong,
that was
really fun.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dong watch barren for years. But
2022 now, right?
Beaver watch.
Oh, Jesus.
Taking off like a jet plane.
I do not like that name one bit. Can Beaver you, watch. James, give the audience who perhaps has never listened to us before some context as to what we're talking about?
Well, Ryan and I are really fascinated by the boundary pushing of HBO and how they're really like, they are trying to normalize showing male genitalia in movies.
Sure.
And, you know, we saw, what, Theon's dong, I think, in Game of Thrones, a couple of dongs in Westworld as well. And, you know, America's not ready, right, for too much dong.
But no.
HBO Max is not, well, HBO as an institution is, you know, they're shocking us, right? And in the year 3000, it will be normal because of the ground they're breaking today.
Right. They are erect on the forefront.
Standing erect on the forefront of full male nudity.
Them and Netflix. And Netflix, too. What was that show that Netflix did? Where it was the shower scene that...
Yes.
That Kristen one, will pause.
No, Adam, you are... Yeah, I know. That was one show, okay? They're not on the forefront. They're on the back burner. And what we're looking for here...
Yeah, they're chasing Game of Thrones
coattails. I feel like there's more dong on Netflix than you give them credit for.
Then I need you to do a long research paper.
I will not be doing research.
I'd like you to dive deep into this. But I will say, all we're asking for is equality. you know?
Right. We'll get and I think that, you know, men will not truly be free until the dawn is free.
Confucius is just not rolling in his grave. He just sat straight up and been like, wow, James is the real deal. The Art of Dawn by James.
Yeah, I it could still happen in Peacemaker. We'll see.
Ugh. If only.
They talk about
it. I feel like it's going to.
Let us cross our fingers.
But it won't be John Cena. Mm-mm. If anyone's hanging Dong, it'll probably be the dye beard guy.
Yeah, John Economos. Played by Steve Agee. So they arrive at the senator's house. They see the senator has bodyguards, especially and specifically one little tiny little bodyguard in a little green suit. And his name is Judo Master. They have a long conversation, Peacemaker and the crew does, about how the Dove of Peace isn't on his gun, and that's going to be a reason he doesn't want to kill a whatever it is dressed up and or wearing a skin suit like a child. That's his main source of contention there. The gun is not exactly how he wants it to be. John and Myrn discuss why they won't tell Peacemaker what butterflies are.
It's because they don't trust him.
Don't trust him.
And Myrn tells John while they're putting up a camera that he's sad about the things he's done. We've gotten some context in the past where he's killed people on both sides. And this is his first feeling ever.
So he's killed people on both sides for who? Like one day he's working for the CIA and then the other day he's working for the KGB? Like, I don't get it.
Ooh, hey, we have to go for a moment because there's going to be an advertisement right now. Bye.
Wow, what a great ad. I will absolutely purchase or subscribe to that product or service.
I love that thing that we just heard. It's one of my favorites.
I've never heard anything better. Anyway, back to Peacemaker episode three.
You lose your spot.
Oh, so this is kind of they change up Peacemaker's character a lot here.
They do. Like, he's so very inconsistent.
He's like, oh, I can't fire because he didn't get me a gun with my symbol on it. But then actually, it's because he doesn't want to hurt innocent people. But it's like I thought hurting innocent people was his whole deal. So he's really evolved since the movie. So yeah, not consistent, like Adam said.
I think this show definitely cheapens his character. Because in the movie, he was very, like, he was more rough around the edges. He was harder. He didn't care what anyone else thought as long as he got his mission done.
In Suicide Squad, like he said, was a villain.
He was definitely a bad guy.
And in this show, James Gunn has betrayed his entire character for the sake of gaining empathy for the main protagonist slash making him a bit more human, for to humanize him specifically. Because, hey, it's hard to have a TV show with a protagonist that's the villain and you kind of want to hate. But there's also reasons why people don't make TV shows about only villains, like not anti-heroes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just like a person who walked into a small out camping in the woods and killed innocent people in Suicide Squad because he was part of a weird competition. That guy is also like, I can't shoot kids. They might not have done anything wrong. Like, okay.
and also to point out in the movie, all those people were innocent.
Yes, they sure were. And he showed no remorse after that.
No remorse. Exactly right. That's what my point is. Like, he is so, like,
different now.
Yeah, he's very fluff now.
But I do like Vigilante here. He's like, it's a cool, I'll take the gun. And then not just, like, with no emotion, but, like, happy-go-lucky.
Whistling, yeah.
He's, like, shooting the members of the family. And he doesn't know they're aliens at this point. No. He thinks he's just murdering people.
No, it is said multiple times, that guy's a psycho. And yeah, he is. Also, he's the best part of the show.
Yeah, he gives off some very serial killer vibes with those glasses in episode 4.
I love it. I really do. Mm-hmm. Harcourt and Peacemaker get a moment here to discuss their pasts while they are waiting to shoot a family who might be aliens. And there is some empathy, finally, in Peacemaker's direction from Harcourt. Something that I'm sure Peacemaker will ruin. Vigilante shows up, making this scene instantly better. And then we look inside to the house, and the weird zombie people, who have expressionless faces, are pouring a honey-colored goo into a bowl. And then Mern says, "Oh my god, that means they're butterflies." At which point, the actual butterflies make actual... Okay, who knows the technical scientific word for a butterfly tongue? Does anybody?
It's like, I think it starts with a P.
Oh my god, dude. Proboscis. You got it.
How did you know that?
So specific.
It was the word on Wordle yesterday. That's why you know.
Proboscis.
P.S.
I'm the smart one, guys. I'm the smart one on the show, which means we're in really bad shape.
Let's take out about a minute here to discuss Wordle. I'm not good at it, and it pisses me off. And
I haven't even tried it.
I put in notes first every time, acrid second every time. That is straight from Google's because I need all the help I can get, and I still fail.
Oh, I haven't lost one yet. I'm on a hot streak.
I think you're a cheater.
Yeah.
You fucking cheater. You're all cheaters. I truly
not deny it.
There is no one on earth who is not cheating at Wordle.
How would you cheat? Well, I guess you could open it in two browsers and then you'd have 10 guesses, right?
Oh, you can cheat.
Oh my god. So you know how to do it.
Yeah, instantly.
Curious. Very curious.
Anyway, the butterflies use their proboscises and they they slurp up the honey goo. Peacemaker is then told to shoot them, but hesitates. Because they still look like kids. And also, he doesn't know what they've done wrong. Like, sure, they might be aliens who are tonguing goo out of weird cups and they have no expressions whatsoever. But what did they do wrong? So he can't shoot them. And as you said, Vigilante then easily murders three of the family minus the dad. As he is about to shoot the dad, Judo attacks. Judo then kicks their asses easy. Harcourt gets fucking knocked out, hits a rock. Mern kinda points a gun at the two people in the van, which was scary for a moment. And then he's like, "No, I'm just handing it to you. I'm going out there. And Leota, you're coming with me. And John Economos, hey, don't let anybody leave." And John Economos is like, "Why or how?" And at this point, the butterfly who is alive, who's the senator, and his guards bring the pals inside, minus Harcourt, who gets stopped by a guard, and then when that guard is threatened with a gun that Leota is holding, he begs for his life. At which point, Harcourt and Leota have a conversation back and forth about whether or not they should kill this possible butterfly slash possible regular human being with a family. And Leota's like, "I haven't killed anyone before, and killing someone is it's a lot, and that's a lot for me." And Harcourt's like, "You're a pussy," and then shoots the dude in the face.
Yeah, the guy with the family.
Yeah, it turns out not a butterfly. Real bummer.
After they get captured, because they get their asses kicked by Judo Master, and they get captured, and then the bad guy, the evil Senator Butterfly Man, is torturing only Vigilante, and not not at all Peacemaker.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
It's not what would happen, but it's funny.
No. Yeah. And he's torturing him in the most bitch-ass way. He's like, "I'll start with your pinky toe, the least essential part of the human body."
And let's have that conversation four more times this episode.
Yeah.
It even bleeds into the next episode.
Yeah. No, that's not how they started. Yeah. He started electrocuting Vigilante's balls.
Right.
And then they moved on to the pinky toe, which was not a neat thing, and I didn't like watching it.
That's right. They showed it.
Yeah, it was gross. At this point, Leota, Harcourt, and Mern are trying to get through a solid green layer of whatever something is behind a trick door to get down to the weird butterfly basement. He has this thing in his wallet that so happens to be like C4 explosives. And
credit card C4.
At this point, Judo gets on out of there. He runs through a cave in the back to go tell the world what's happened here, while the upstairs explodes and allows Harcourt, Leota, and Mern to go downstairs. But also, Mern gets like way too close to the explosion and flies backwards, unconscious on the ground with his eyes kind of lifeless and blood coming out of his mouth. And then he gets up and he's like, "I'm chill."
Right. So he absolutely was killed there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. But when I was watching it first without knowing the context of it, I was like, well, he's a strong son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, because of the thing that happens later makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Judo is then driving away, but gets T-boned by Johnny Cunimus in a great shot. Judo is then crawling away from the car, and John keeps hitting him in the head with a tire iron, but he refuses to die.
Yeah, it, weird that Johnny Cunimus, like, brought him down. And is kind of brave, actually.
Yeah, he hit him once in the head and then got away real quick, like, and then does it over and over again. It's great stuff.
So then, eventually they do kill the senator, and his brains are all splattered open, and a horrible little pixie alien comes out, and Peacemaker grabs it. We don't. Does that happen on screen? We find out later.
He lies that he shot it, but what he actually did was put it in a jar and put holes on the top of the jar so that it didn't die.
Right, like a child with an actual butterfly.
Correct. And Mitch Hedberg with the joke about a frog putting a leaf in a tree to recreate its natural habitat.
Oh my god, I love that you referenced that.
Yeah.
Episode 3 was really good, and then episode 4 sucked.
Yes. Yes, it did.
I was talking to our buddy Elliot about this, and I said, I'm just waiting for, like, some actual action in this show. Like, there's a couple of little spurts here and there, but I thought that it was going to be way more violent than it is just based on the Suicide Squad movie, and we're not there yet.
Yeah. How are we 4 episodes in and we don't have like a major set piece fight?
Right. Like I said, there's a couple little, you know, scuffles, but nothing that's like that first fight scene with the chick in the room. I was like, okay, that's cool, that's fun. But yeah, it's very lackluster.
Episode 4 is entitled The Chode Less Traveled, which is
a good title.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, the main beats of this episode are Peacemaker finds out his dad went to jail. Vigilante goes into the jail to try to kill his dad, but can't.
Yes, Vigilante getting into jail, the scene where he goes and picks up the garbage can and then slowly in front of all the security guards throws it out the window. That was actually solid. In fact, I would argue anytime Vigilante is on screen, it is the only saving grace of especially this
episode. He's great. He's real funny.
Yeah, he is really good. The scene where he walks into the jail.
Holy shit, yes.
Yo. That was the one scene where my eyes were glued onto the screen, and I loved it. And it was so quick and witty. He was so good.
Yes, he's just actively saying the most terrible things you could say.
You guys know who this actor is?
No,
Freddie Stroma.
He's Sam's older brother who gets burned by Daenerys. He's like, I went across the wall and I fought White Walkers. There's no such thing. That's this guy.
He's also in Harry Potter, too. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, no, wait. Sam's oldest brother is the guy from Umbrella Academy. He gets burned alongside his father when they both won't kneel.
Okay. Who's Dickon, then?
Dickon Tarly is another one of Sam's brothers who's on screen only at that one weird dinner.
Okay. So that is him, the one who's like, there's no such thing.
Yeah, it's that guy.
Okay, I assumed that was the same character.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Vigilante goes into the jail because Leota kind of gaslights him into thinking he definitely wants to go in there and assassinate him. Myrn is like, well, that's a goddamn stupid idea. We're already kind of losing Peacemaker as we go here. Now we're going to tell him that we accidentally put his father in prison, and then we accidentally sent someone into the prison to murder him, his best friend, quote-unquote. And Johnny Cunimus is like, let's be very clear, his best friend is the bird.
And I like how this conversation is framed around, like, oh, he's going to get tired of us and quit. No, the more real threat is he'll kill you all.
Right.
And that's never brought up.
Like he's done so many times. In fact, in the first scene, when they're all in the van going away from the scene of the crime, and then Judo Master falls onto the ground, and Vigilante and Peacemaker immediately point their guns at him with their fingers on the triggers, I was like, oh yeah, that's that character. Where has that character been?
I said the only other thing that really happens in this episode is Judo Master, like, kind of escapes, and then Peacemaker fights him and is definitely going to win the fight. Not only is he about to win the fight,
But Judo Master's about to, like, drop a big reveal, and then for absolutely no reason, Tasty shoots him in the chest.
Yes, because she had to prove something to herself. She had to prove that Amanda Waller, who is her mother, was right about putting her on this team, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I wish she didn't do that, though, because the Judo Master was about to drop some valuable knowledge. At some point in this episode, the old man, who is somehow at all times 24/7, no matter what, clipping his bushes besides Peacemaker's dad's house, has a conversation with Peacemaker about how Batman sucks. And I, out of a lot of the conversations like this, where they kind of just take a minute or two and talk about something that has nothing to do with the narrative of the episode, I really don't like. Except for this one. I liked it very much because I agree with their feelings, or James Gunn's feelings on Batman, about how he sucks and he puts clowns in prison and then they break out and murder more people. And you could say that, like, I don't know how many people have died because the Joker just gets out and he refuses to kill them.
Right. And actually, this is funny. James Gunn had an interview with The Hollywood Reporter where DC really was like, can you take out the part where in the script where he calls Batman a pussy? And he's like, no, that stays.
No, that's in.
I'm so happy that stayed.
I have a real, like, hard Batman pussy line in the sand that I will not step over. So at some point, Peacemaker goes to the prison to visit his daddy. This was before and earlier in the episode. Maybe in the third, I can't even remember. His dad's real mean to him, but he also lets slip that all that his father needs to do is tell the detectives that the prints don't match. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'll tell them that next time I see them. Perfect. This should have been a movie. Anyway.
At the very end... We get sort of Peacemaker's backstory where he's, you know, he's basically an abused child.
Yeah, it's
kind of
sad, actually. Yeah.
His dad teaching him to murder people. And I think we're shown through clips that he accidentally killed his brother. They had a fight and his brother hit his head. And then during his, like, dance, he's dancing and listening to music. He takes a big bong rip and then blows it into the alien's jar.
Yeah, really like that.
That was funny.
And by the way, we're saying aliens because of one context clue plus one line said by perhaps a unreliable narrator. The first context clue is, hey, there's a little alien ship. But, you know, maybe that's some Tony Stark shit. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's some, you know, made by a person. But we don't know yet. And Myrn at some point says, we're fighting off an alien invasion. Which I was like, oh, okay, there it is. It's aliens. Until, at the end, a big reveal occurs, and it turns out that Myrn has been a butterfly this entire time. So, is it an alien invasion, or is he lying?
He is fronting the alien invasion.
I think probably he died in the explosion, and the butterfly slipped in his ear or some shit.
One of the other butterflies from, like, the family, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah.
Ooh, so you think he wasn't a butterfly before that? That's interesting.
Yeah, could be.
Or a butterfly took him over prior to him dying.
Those are the two options.
Yeah.
Good news, guys. James Gunn has confirmed that Peacemaker is going to be in more DC projects going forward, which,
Well,
I mean,
of course he is.
I'm torn. I like the character. I just don't like this, like, show.
Yeah, I don't really like what they're doing with him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in episode 4, Tasty's like, oh, he's got a big heart. It's like, does he really? I think he's a murderer.
Yeah, pretty much a murderer.
And then you keep calling her Tasty. But at some point, she looks at Vigilante and she's like, you're a good guy too. And I'm like, well, is he though?
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He murdered kids. He shot children.
He kills people for smoking weed, or at least used to, before they legalized it.
I don't like when characters are made out to be smart and capable, but constantly say dumb shit that the person who's writing it believes as fact. They're like, yep, no, she says that they're good, and they are on the inside, while the audience stands there in response to be like, not even close, man. It's just, like, weird that you don't know your own show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, then again, this show was written in 8 weeks.
That's true.
Like we've said.
That seems like not enough time.
Quality is lacking in this one.
Leota finds out something at the end. She has an aha moment where she finds from the senator's pile of shit the Glantai Bottling Company business card, which matches up to a worker's badge that was in the lady from the first episode's purse. So it's in Washington State. So perhaps that's where they're going next to fight a factory full of butterflies, which it seems as though it's being set up that I don't know if they're going to be aliens. I think I'd rather have them be human made and lost control of. And this is just someone's fault.
Yeah. Which would be interesting to see whose fault it was.
Waller's probably, right? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What if she's a butterfly?
Right, exactly. I was trying to think, like, why would she put her daughter on this? Like, doesn't she know that there's a good chance that a butterfly will fly into her fucking face?
Yeah. No regard for her children either.
Or,
she's just as bad as Vigilante.
Mm. You're not wrong. Okay, so you said that I need to look up a review about this show.
Right on.
I mean, this is a review of the show.
I know. You just lived another it. One, though, with feelings that aren't ours. Oh, God. Rotten Tomatoes is so far up its asshole.
I hate it now.
Yeah. 94% tomato meter, 85% audience score. John Cena is still in solid form as Peacemaker, leading a bloody good time that gives writer-director James Gunn full permission to let his freak flag fly. Fuck that. Mm. Fuck that sentence that I just read. I'm sad that I heard it. I said it out loud.
Metacritic's a bit lower. Metacritic has the Metascore at 69, nice, and then user score at 7.6.
Something else I found interesting about this is James Gunn directed the first three, and then it was a new director for this one. But I looked forward to, I want to say, episode 7 or episode 8. I think it was episode 7. Yeah, the guy who directs episode 7 directed The Machinist.
With Christian Bale?
Yes. I saw that. I'm like, what? That's so off brand.
Wait, why didn't James Gunn direct them all?
He didn't direct them all. He had guest directors on three of them. Yeah.
He directed most of them. They had to be double shooting or something.
And I'm going to watch the rest of the show. I enjoy it well enough when it's on. But like,
yeah, I mean, it's entertaining.
This character, Peacemaker, he was much better as like a foil, as like a villain, as like a stupid evil guy up against the other members of the Suicide Squad. Only a couple of whom had any glint of goodness in them, right? Most of them, including Peacemaker, did not. And I don't know, it's weird that they're trying to turn his character more sympathetic the way that, like, they're trying to make him into Bloodsport, which is like, oh, I'm a violent guy, but I'm sympathetic. Peacemaker was like, I'm a violent guy and I'm not sympathetic, and they're just changing that.
There was an interview that I saw somewhere of James Gunn saying that he tried to write it as the complete opposite of Captain America.
Huh. That's like fine,
you know,
I suppose.
How
about like this
opposite America?
No, yeah. How about this? Just like the opposite of John Cena's character in the WWE. You could have just said that.
Right. Yeah, that is. It really is.
And my main problem with this show is because it doesn't even feel like a retcon. It feels like James Gunn forgot.
Yeah, he misunderstood his own character.
Yeah. And then he's just like shoving a misunderstood version of the main character down our throats while we stand in the wake of it and say, hey, that's not who that guy was. So which one's right? Is the first one right or is this one right? Because you can't have both ways.
I like the other one better.
Because the other one is better.
Yeah.
Because movies are what James Gunn seems to do better. Perhaps that's just it. Like, you know, he's a short story guy, not so much a novel. What I'll also say is this show is, and this is not the fault of Peacemaker or the fault of James Gunn, it is just a victim of circumstance. I'm watching Peacemaker at the same time I am binging Succession. And
crazy.
Succession is amazing.
I've heard.
And so like when I go from watching an episode of that to this, it's a lot like caviar and then shit from the front lawn kind of thing going on. And I don't even like caviar. It's just a metaphor for something that's good. What's a food that you like? Adam, what's a food you like?
Baby back ribs.
Yes. Right on. Baby back ribs. Excrement on the
Chili's
ground.
Baby back ribs.
I'm not enjoying anything I'm watching recently. Like, I watched this and I thought it's fine. I watched Cowboy Bebop and it just does so much psychic damage to me. And I'm excited to get to Raised by Wolves season 2. I think it'll be a nice return to form for the HBO boys. And then also we'll be done with this fucking cape shit streak we've been on this whole year.
I think Raised by Wolves will hopefully just be bad enough where it's good, bad enough where it's funny. But I don't really recall it being that way in the first season. I remember it being, like you just said, causing psychic damage while I'm watching it. There has not been a show we've done recently where we just gush the entire time because our expectations are fucked. And you know, and it's not even our fault. It's everybody else's fault. People are making bad
shows.
Oh,
by the way, Westworld season 4 coming out in 2022. Anybody still care? I do.
Do you? Describe why you care.
I never finished season 2.
Okay, well you should watch it.
Finish season 2 and then stop.
Yeah, James, describe
so
why
much
you
I need
care.
To watch.
It's, you know, it's our flagship show.
Sentiment.
We were the HBO boys. We were the Westworld podcast.
And in the middle of that, we were the Watchmen podcast.
We're going to fucking take this shit to the end, baby. We're going to suicide pact with Westworld season 4.
Right. Our blood will fall to the ground in slow motion while I say howdy dream cowboys, because that shit's coming back easy, baby.
Are they going to do a season 5? Do they have plans?
Okay,
for
don't get ahead
I,
of Jonah
I really
and
doubt
Lisa.
It, but,
don't
but
get
perhaps.
Ahead of them.
Interesting.
They barely made it out of season 3.
Oh, God. That gives me hope.
And has Evan Rachel Wood been announced? Because as Jonah Nolan says, I fucking hope not. I hope she's still
It's kind of like, it's like they were trying to win a few Emmys. Then once they did, they're like, whatever. Whatever happens with the rest of this is fine.
Let's just make some pulpy bullshit now. That would be really cool. And let's put Jesse from Breaking Bad in there.
Right.
And,
that's right. He's
I
in
think
that.
Ryan and I may, we need to do like a season 3 rewatch show before the fourth season. Because it was so bad. The villain
like
in season 3 has this like all-powerful supercomputer which can use an algorithm to perfectly predict the future. And right,
wonderful.
So he can control all future events. But only for humans, not for robots. And like he's all-powerful. He controls the world. And like with all his big power, he's like, all right, now to kill the good guys, I will use my limitless resources to send like 20 guys with guns. I could send 40. No, I'll send 20.
What in the... This show has gone off the fucking rails.
Oh, yeah. Season 3 was wild.
Season 1 was so good.
Well, that's because they were in the park and Anthony Hopkins
was
there.
Oh, so good.
Right, and they had an artistic vision. And now they're just
I watched the first episode of season 2 and I'm like, nope.
Yeah, season 2, pretty bad.
You know how I know we don't like a show? When we spend the last 10 minutes of an episode about a show talking about another show. Thank you to our patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, James Watch My Dong, which, James, will have to get an update as to whether or not you are
James
watching
James Watch My Beaver.
Okay. Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Duras, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. We really do appreciate the money now that you are going to be getting ad-free versions of our podcasts, but you know maybe just listen to the ones with the ads. Just listen to them. So and what's down the pipeline? Gosh dang, we are going to do an Arcane podcast at some point. I just don't know. As they've been discussing recently, Adam and James, through the psychic damage, you're going to do a Cowboy Bebop retrospective.
I'm almost there, man. I've only got one last episode left. Where
right,
it
I'll
is
catch up
it's
with
the worst one.
Oh, good. I won't know.
You already know the end, don't you? You've ruined it for yourself.
I know, yeah. I know how it ends.
Yeah, but don't you know the end anyway because you watch the anime?
No, because this ends on a cliffhanger, right? It doesn't.
Oh.
It ends setting up season 2, which, alas.
It got canceled. Yeah.
Right. At some point, we'll do a retrospective of Yellow Jacket season one as well. Raised by Wolves is coming down the pipeline.
Any interest in a Harry Potter 20th anniversary return to Hogwarts?
Incredibly.
We can talk about it.
Yes.
I watched it.
I didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it, but I'll listen to you guys talk about it.
The tears did flow. Yeah, you're just signing us up for more work. That's bullshit.
Chad will probably talk about it.
Chad's never here anymore.
He's got like a family and shit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, not like, me. Who needs a family?
Yeah, just like completely stop paying attention to them and watch a weird, kind of bad show starring John Cena as a character that was different before.
The Nevers. That's coming to HBO Max. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Oh, and The Last of Us is coming the end of this year.
House of the Dragon at some
looking forward
point.
To that.
Yeah,
Last of Us will be good.
God, I hope so. I hope so.
How do we escape this podcast?
This one? The Peacemaker one?
Yeah, this episode. How do we fucking end this shit?
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.